This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The person is going to be performing on the 5th of Feb. We have on the line with us Warren Wills, who is a Melbourne-born but London-based, usually multi-award-winning composer, musical director, performer, educationalist, and has worked with like some of the world's best cabaret, opera, jazz, and classical artists. Like,
overachiever. Overachiever.
I'm feeling very intimidated, but thanks for coming on.
Hello, Warren.
Greetings. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Very well, very well. So give us a little bit of a background story. You were on Sunday Arts not all that long ago when we chatted, but those that didn't hear you last time, your journey has been extraordinary, Warren. Give us a bit of a snapshot.
As a snapshot, well, I was kind of raised on music. I was addicted and compelled to do music, and that kind of continued till I was 10. And that was in Melbourne. And my mum kind of lost a little bit of patience. Thought, what the hell am I going to do with this kid? So she took me off to the conservatorium. I did composition there from the age of 10, would you believe, on a Saturday afternoon. And at the earliest opportunity, I made my way and winged it across to London, where, as it became pretty clear, if one is to really sort of move on exponentially, make leaps and bounds in this business, one needs to cut their teeth in London or New York. And as my mum was born in Birmingham, I had right to citizenship there. So since 1982, I've been based in London, and that's been really doing everything, composition and music theatre and styles and concerts. And I suppose more recently, since about 2000, won't sound more recent, it's over 20 years ago now, I thought it would be a good idea to wear two very distinct hats. And one was what I call a commercial hat, and that's doing all the stuff for people like Margaret Atwood and Woody Allen and all that kind of stuff. And one is what I call my good causes hat, and that's where I started to do this thing, which I love, called Socially Inclusive Music Theatre. I must also say, I can remember during the Tony Blair years that Damon Albarn, who fronted a band called Blur, were in constant rivalry with Oasis.
Yes, they were.
The best band in Britain. And there was an ongoing rivalry between the two. That was many moons ago.
Yeah. Now, why do you do this inclusive stuff? You know, why do you do this community, like musical theatre? What was your purpose behind it?
Well, I mean, two main reasons. I spend a lot of time in a borough, which is in North London, Haringey. For those who don't know, they might well know the football team based there, which is Tottenham Hotspur. And Haringey has around 200 languages spoken in the borough, making it not only the most culturally diverse borough in England, but in Europe. And it's not always a successful situation there for younger people. There's a lot of gang situations, not hugely dissimilar, I guess, to the kind of thing goes on in West Melbourne, I suppose. And over there, I thought, wouldn't it be a really good idea for those who are privileged enough of us who work in musicals, where really, once you finish rehearsal, you're asked to do a 2 or 3 hour day, and that's the stuff that you love doing. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if somehow it was incumbent on those practitioners to put something a little bit back into the community? So I was having a conversation with the council one day when somebody, a woman named Kate Annette, walked past, and she said, well, we have an organization, and it's made up of a load of kids who are predominantly special needs kids, or kids from, I suppose, if you like, at-risk backgrounds, kids who are, from victims of domestic abuse or alcoholism or broken families, etc. And what we normally do is sort of get together and do games, and we would love to kind of get involved with this idea of yours. And the idea was to put together the world premiere of new musicals done in collaboration with about 80 kids. And what happened, of course, in London during August, it's the summer over there, we had unfettered access to kids for 3 weeks, and we thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity to do this. So we used to have think tank sessions a month ahead of time, and then we used to sit down with, I suppose, a third of the group with what you've described as special needs kids, and that's everything from cerebral palsy, spina bifida, autism, Down syndrome, and so on, to a third of the kids who, as I said, were at-risk kids, and a third of the kids, for want of a better expression, what I call mainstream kids. And that's exactly what we did. We did world premieres of new musicals. We put them on in prestigious West End London venues. And we had directors as diverse as people like Kathy Tyson, who you might remember from the film with Bob Hoskins, Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
To people like Richard Hanson from Aardman, Susie McKenna, all sorts. Anyway, the point of it was, my motivation really was, A, to put something back into the community, and B, I thought that given that my love and my joy is styles, the whole diverse styles thing, it'd be great to do musicals where it wasn't just, you know, kids doing something in the style of Les Mis or hip-hop, which they love, but, you know, musical styles across the board. And from there, it kind of, it really snowballed. We went from Haringey to Hackney Village in 2012 for the Olympics. I was then brought over to Shepparton here in Victoria by La Trobe University. We then worked with Les Twenham in the Western Suburbs. It went on from there. We did Choir of Hard Knocks. We did Australian Catholic University. And funnily enough, while I was sitting here in lockdown last year, slightly more than a year ago, about 13 months ago, I got a call from a guy who runs the St Kilda Writers Festival. I think he's known to you, one of your programs, Mick McSholey, down there in St Kilda, who said, why don't you do something for St Kilda's Writers Festival? Well, of course, that was meant to be for March last year, and here we are almost a year on, and we have been jilted at the altar so many times with our rather large socially inclusive music theatre period. We were hoping to do it in March, but unfortunately, we've had to postpone it again for 3 months. So,
yeah.
So I know it's a terrible feeling as we go into 2022 of deja vu, and I hope I'm terribly mistaken.
Mm. Yeah. And what's it called, Warren? Because you've got to explain to our audience that this story has moved me so much.
Okay, every time we do a new piece of socially inclusive music theatre, obviously we look at different themes, and this particular story, it's called Night of Broken Glass, was born out of an experience that I had in Shepparton, and we were looking for something in Shepparton to do with the kids there. And the reason we were in Shepparton, I should actually preface this by saying, is because it was put to us that Shepparton had the highest rates of illiteracy and numeracy amongst young people anywhere in Australia.
Whoa.
And I thought that our program might be a useful thing to bring the community together. And so we went over there, and my practitioner who came out with me, a guy called Yaman Chowdhury, was Googling searching around, and he found the name William Cooper. And I must be honest with you, much to my shame, I'd never heard of this guy. An indigenous guy, and he died many, many moons ago. And he was incredibly active, very literate and articulate in doing everything he could as an indigenous man to improve the lot of the Aboriginals in Australia at that time, which you can imagine, everything was sort of stacked up against the indigenous Australians. We're talking the late 30s. And during this period, when he was head of the Aboriginal Advancement League, he read a newspaper story in the Argus newspaper, which no longer exists, and it described the events that were inflicted and unleashed by Hitler onto the German community of Jews on November 9th and 10th of 1938. You'd think, as an Aboriginal man at the time, trying to strike out and certainly do enough to improve a lot of the Aborigines, he would have had enough on his plate. However, being the great humanist that William Cooper was, he saw this story, became incensed, and he said, right, we're going to do something to help this mob, you know. And he decided on December the 6th, 1938, that he would lead a protest, a delegation that marched from Footscray all the way to the gates of the German embassy that was then in Collins Street. This is an elder Aboriginal man of 78 years old, to make what we understand today to be the only private citizens' protest ever recorded in history anywhere in the world against the German government for the atrocities committed against the Jewish people during Kristallnacht. Suffice to say, that largely at the time, the act was pretty much ignored and immediately rejected, but it came to light drip by drip over the years, and in fact, 2 years ago, Angela Merkel, she came out and she acknowledged the petition presented by William Cooper. She endorsed all its recommendations, which is an incredible piece of history. And since then, William Cooper has kind of now started to enter into the realms, I suppose, almost of this incredible mythological larger-than-life figure. But believe me, he was a very real figure, and a figure that we strive very hard to bring to the attention of all Australians.
Mm. And that's where this piece has come from, the Night of Broken Glass.
Night of Broken Glass, really, it's a musical commemoration to look at the remarkable link created by William Cooper between the two stories of Indigenous Australians at the time and the Jewish community under Hitler during Kristallnacht.
Unbelievable. And the wonderful thing is you're going to, you with a choir are going to present a few of the songs at the Art Hunter on the 5th of Feb.
We are indeed. And listen, we call ourselves a choir, but I'll tell you something. It's the all-singing, the all-dancing, the all-acting group. Unfortunately, I've got to tell you, when we were in our pomp and our flow, we didn't think anything of it. Every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning, we would rehearse for 3 or 4 hours, and it was so much more than just the rehearsals.
Yeah.
To have this large group of people, a lot of whom are homeless, a lot of whom are disabled, and to get together and also have this community thing where we're having, you know, lunch together and people looking out for each other. We have young people, Vision Australia involved, so have quite a number of our cohort are blind, and it's the most fantastic atmosphere. It just goes to show you how much we take these things for granted, because we haven't been able to do that now for around 3 or 4 months.
Mm. Well, I'm just absolutely thrilled that you'll be presenting some of the numbers at this night on the 5th. And can't wait for you to tell this story to the audience that night as well, because it's such a wonderful story out of Victoria, Australia. You know, like, it's excellent. I'm just thrilled that you're part of it all.
Well, listen, I'm thrilled as well. I must say, it's an ever-diminishing population of people who were around at the time of that March 1938. But incredibly, William Cooper's grandson, Uncle Boydie, who's 93 years old, is still very much with us and was an active member of all of our previous productions. He was 10 years old when he actually went on that famous march with his grandfather, William Cooper, to the German embassy. So, yeah, I think it's very important that we get the story out sooner rather than later. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we go. We're going to be presenting it on stage on the 5th of February at the Alex Theatre. Thank you so much for sharing the story today, and thank you for being part of the Art Hunter as well.
A huge pleasure, and we're certainly looking forward to it for Saturday the 5th of February. We can't wait. Very excited about it.
All right. See you then.
Thanks. Cheers now. All the best.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you very much. We've been talking to Warren Wills here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.